From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature.
Run! Run! Run!
Every week, we play a sound from somewhere in the Bay Area. We ask you what it is and where we recorded it. Can you guess what those were? Stay tuned and we'll tell you the stories behind the sounds. It's a special Audiograph show from KALW News. Stay with us. If this sounds familiar to you, that's because this is how we start our sonic guessing game on KALW every week. Since the beginning of the year, we've been playing you a sound and asking you to guess what it is and where we recorded it. Each week, we tell you the story behind the sound. And today, we're going to listen back to some of our favorites and some you might have missed. We're going to start out with our very first Audiograph mystery sound. It's a sound you can hear floating through the air all over the financial district. It seeps in through windows and hangs in the air in the cavernous streets. And it's coming from the corner of Sansom and Pine, from a man in a kilt, standing right at the foot of the old Pacific Stock Exchange building.
I'm Ben Johnston. I've been playing bagpipes for about 15 years. Pick up the pipes from when I was about 18 years old. My grandfather was a piper. It's been very much a part of my family tradition growing up, and something I always wanted to do when I was young. So now I'm living the dream and playing music, and hopefully I can carry on the tradition. It's one of those instruments that kind of draws people in because they hear it from a distance, so it kind of brings together the masses. So. But down here it's good. It's sometimes a bit echoey, but for the most part, I think it tends to resonate pretty well down here with all the old buildings. So I love the uniqueness of the instrument, the pitch and the tone. It's been referred to as instrument of the angels.
I can hear you in my office.
Hope you enjoyed
it. It's good to hear it, yeah.
Have a good one. Cheers.
A lot of responses to that first sound.
I'm calling to object to the bagpipes that I have now heard 2 days in a row. I do not like bagpipes. You know, I could go to some other station for bagpipes. I go to KALW for news and not all the funny noises that you guys are producing, which I could go on and on about, but I won't.
Sounds like this, the sounds of our environment, tell us a lot about where we live and who lives here with us. Okay, ready for the next one?
It won't break? Okay, I don't want to make it.
For most of the last 44 years, the sound of a ringing bell has signaled the end of the day for the Exploratorium's visitors and staff. The museum's very first closing bell belonged to Exploratorium founder Frank Oppenheimer. It was a school bell that he brought out from his ranch in Colorado. After his death, Oppenheimer's son asked for the bell back, and the museum needed a new way to end the day. So in 2006, composer Brenda Hutchinson bought a 250-pound cast iron bell from a collector in Michigan. She hitched a trailer to the back of her car and drove it out to its new home in California.
A lot of people would beep and wave and say, "Oh, you got the Liberty Bell." And I'm thinking, "You haven't seen the Liberty Bell. It's, you know, it's huge."
When the Exploratorium shut its doors for the last time at its old location earlier this year, Brenda's bell was accompanied by a chorus of small handheld bells rung by Exploratorium visitors and staff. A way of saying goodbye to the old space and hello to the new space, and a new bell.
So this will give you an idea of what it's going to sound like. I'm going to ring it approximately where it's going to be hit, okay? So here we go. Nick DiFilippo. I guess what I am in terms of my work is I'm a foundry person. I melt metal and put it into holes that are shaped like things I want to make. I got onto bells a long time ago, so every once in a while somebody comes along and wants a bell, and it's an excuse to kind of take a little farther.
What are bells for?
I think in the West especially, where we think about either church bells or school bells or cities, fire departments or whatever. It's like, you know, something's going on. You want to get people's attention. I think what I've been trying to do with the stuff I've been developing is something that has a tone that I like, you know, something that you can hit it and just feel it and the sound, stand next to it. So it's more like a temple bell in that sense.
I like the idea so much of there being so much meaning in objects, and even meaning that, you know, it's this bell is going to be a very public object. At least the sound of the bell is going to be very public, and not everybody's going to know all of that meaning that goes into it, but it's sort of, I feel like it's present anyway.
I like the idea of the anonymity of it. I like the idea that there's this thing that's there, and who knows who made it, who knows what happened to it. You know, it's just an object that's becomes part of its environment. Again, this is a different thing. This is a newborn, and its life is ahead of it, and I know where to find it. You know, it's that this is one of my children that aren't going too far away, which is nice.
This is Audiograph. I'm Julie Kane, and we're finding out what we can learn from the sounds all around us. Have you heard the exploratorium bell? What else do you hear that defines where you live? Call and tell us at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Okay, ready to guess another?
All right.
KALW's Audrey Dilling is going to tell us about this sound. And a special note to KALW announcer Joe Burke. This one's for you.
A couple of weeks ago, I got sent on a special mission for KALW. It started in this echoey hallway.
It's about 3:00 on a Thursday afternoon, and I'm standing outside the media interview room.
When I finished with my interview, the PR rep asked me if I'd gotten everything I needed. I had. But before I could answer, she told me that I might want to go outside. I came to a gate that led to a baseball field. The man guarding it told me I wasn't allowed to go onto the grass, but I could talk to anyone who stepped off of it. So I waited. It was kind of like how in the movie Field of Dreams, the players only became real when they stepped out of the cornfield. Except in this case, Kevin Costner only really recognized about half of them and was secretly afraid he was going to call someone by the wrong name. Finally, someone I recognized. He set one foot in the dirt by the dugout and then another. I was allowed to talk to him now, but I didn't know what to say. Eventually, I went up to him and told him about this game we had called
Audiograph, and it's about the sonic signature of the Bay Area. So
I explained it really fast.
And there's this game where we play the sounds of the field on the radio, and then we have people call in and guess, and then somebody reveals the answer. And
okay.
I want to know if you want to be the person to reveal the answer. So
which brings us to this week's answer to the Audiograph game.
All right. This is Matt Cain, and we are at AT&T Park. Right now, it looks like guys are just getting ready for batting practice, and that's really what guys are doing right now.
You guys may remember, we first aired this one on the anniversary of a very important day. Our winner that week reminded us.
1 year anniversary today of the perfect Matt Cain game in AT&T Park. Let's see if he can do it again in Pittsburgh. Okay, go Giants. Bye.
This is Audiograph. I'm Julie Cain. Keep listening, sports fans. Here's your next hint, courtesy of KALW's Chris Hoff. Guess is ready? Okay, let's listen.
My name is Ronaldo Rodriguez, and we're in Buck Shaw Stadium in Santa Clara, California.
How long have you been doing this? How long have you been part of the Ultras?
Myself since 2009, 4 years.
How did you get into it? What made you want to get into it?
Just the passion. It's like I thought I loved the Quakes, and then I saw how much the Ultras, I saw the passion that they had for the Quakes, and it's like I gotta be with these guys. And it's like, you know, I've never gone back.
Yeah.
I've never gone back. My daughter has knows all the songs. And
what's your favorite song? Do you have a favorite song?
Since I was born, I had a dream to be here every day, representing for my team. Oh, San Jose.
Oh, San Jose.
Now you know it too. There's absolutely no other way that I can express, you know, my love for the Quakes than being an Ultra. And I may be an Ultra until, quite literally, until the way the song goes, until I die. This, I can't imagine stopping being one. I couldn't imagine my life not being an Ultra.
Back a winner, and fans are everywhere.
Come on! Come on! My name is Miller, Herman Miller. Everybody know me as Miller the Champ. We're at Golden Gate Fields in Albany, California. I come out probably only on the weekend once, three times a month. You know, bring about $100 to try to win.
And running on length is paid to that.
I pay the horses, but I take it very serious. You know, horses are glorious animals. I mean, of course, they say cheetahs run the fastest, but horses also is very fast. And of course, this is like the king's sport, you know. So it's really fun, especially when you win. You get excited.
Come on! Come on!
For sheer entertainment value, this sound was our staff favorite.
I'm Jeff Boysen, one of the docents out here at Honor Nuevo. And this is a good viewing area because you can look north and up the entire beach to see the elephant seals. This time of year, we have the females who gave birth in early December, coming back to do their molting, and that's where they're going to shed their fur and get new fur. We also have the pups that were weaned, that we call weaners, that are still here, and they'll be here until their body fat drops, and then nature says you need to go out and start foraging for food. I think the most amazing fact with the elephant seals is that when they are on land, they're fasting the entire time. And then when they do go back out into the open waters, they tend to take the same route every time, year after year.
Where do they go from here? What's their route? Do you know?
The males typically head up towards the Aleutian Islands. The females tend to like squid. And they head out more in a westerly direction. They go out about 1,600 miles and then come back.
I'm Julie Kane, and this is Audiograph. We've been listening to a collection of the mystery sounds we've been playing you all year. And before we go, we're going to take you on one more sonic quest for one of San Francisco's most iconic sounds.
Parrots off the Telegraph Hill.
Those jaunty little green fluttery parrots of
Telegraph Hill, cherry-headed
It sounded like a bird. I'm not sure what kind of bird.
There's these little birds in the San Francisco Zoo.
There's a zoo in San Francisco.
Parrots.
Wild parrots on
Telegraph Hill.
Wild parrots at
Telegraph Hill.
Wild parrots. And I'm guessing that they are in Jefferson Square.
where?
I have seen them fly over the CPMC Davies Medical Center.
Of course, it's parrots
of Telegraph Hill. Most definitely.
I think it's the parrots of Knob Hill.
The wild parrots on Telegraph Hill.
Think they're easy to find? Think again. Here's KALW's Leela Day.
Ever since I moved to San Francisco 2 years ago, I've been told about the wild parrots of Telegraph Hill. Lots of people claim to have seen and heard them in their backyards, but they're most famous for hanging around the gardens up by Coit Tower. So I decided to spend a day here, trying to track them down.
Hello. Did you just hear the parrots fly overhead?
Parrots.
Did you hear them? You guys know?
Sorry.
Parrots.
Really?
I was once told by a native San Franciscan that it would sound like 1,000 screaming babies flying toward me. And these birds, they don't sound like that.
Have you heard about the wild parrots of Telegraph?
The green ones.
Yes.
Yes, our daughter said they're all...
I think they're green. I feel kind of ridiculous, but I do really want to find them. So I just keep walking up to strangers, asking if they've seen these birds.
They've just been sitting right up here, and they flew down into this tree.
Oh, wow. I just missed them, huh?
Yeah, obviously.
Oh.
Okay, this is getting exhausting. I've just climbed up and down about 200 stairs, but I'm not leaving Telegraph Hill until I find them. I see a man jogging, so I stop him.
I saw them when I walk to work. There's a couple of like poplar trees that they sit at the top of, and it's quite lovely to see them because they are spectacularly colored, green with a little bit of red.
It's even harder to find these birds because I can't just offer them bird seed and have them land on my shoulder. That's now illegal. We aren't supposed to feed the wild parrots. Up ahead on Telegraph Hill, I see a man working in the garden near his house. His name is Julian Chetniff.
Whenever they wake up, they fly through here, go somewhere in San Francisco, and come back about 4 or 5. In another hour, half hour, you'll hear them. They just swarm around here, really. Just right at this moment, because you're here, nothing's happening.
I know. I've been trying to find them, and I can't.
Oh, you'll hear them before you see them, and they'll be by the dozens.
I see them.
I take a seat on a step and look up into the trees. The green birds are hopping from branch to branch like little monkeys, drowning out the sounds of the cars below. Some people walk by and don't even look up. Then I see a guy wearing a leather cowboy hat. He's definitely looking up. His name is Chris Vardian, and he's a tour guide who's cutting through the garden on his way home.
Nobody knows exactly where they came from. You know, people think it was probably escaped pets or something, but nobody really knows. It started with just a few, and now there are hundreds living here wild. They just go where they decide to. You know, the city's not that big, 7 miles by 7 miles, so they'll go just about anywhere. Anywhere there's nice, you know, places to roost and hang out.
Though it didn't take me as long as I thought to find these parrots, the search for the little green creatures makes San Francisco feel a little bit more wild. On Telegraph Hill, I'm Leela Day.
You've been listening to an Audiograph special from KALW News. Big thanks to Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Chris Hoff, Seth Samuel, and Ben Trefney.
Oh, you'll hear them before you see them.
Audiograph is edited by Casey Miner. Ashley Ann Krigbaum is our associate producer. And Holly Kernan is our executive editor.
Here every day, representing for my team.
Audiograph is a project of KALW and the Creative Work Fund. Do you have a sound we should hear? Call and tell us about it at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. I'm Julie Kane, and Audiograph will be back next week.